Welcome to season 8 of the award-winning Retail Tea Break podcast. My name is Melissa Moore, the retail advisor, and each week I'll be joined by industry experts, retailers and brands to dispel the myths, share their knowledge and give you an insight into the retail industry. You can listen back to previous seasons on your favourite podcast platform, and while you're there, please do hit that follow button so that you get to listen to it first every week. You can watch us, of course, over on YouTube and subscribe to The Retail Advisor because you've no idea how useful that is to ensure that I can keep bringing you the content that you love. And remember, sharing is caring in the retail industry. Please do share episodes across any of the platforms with your network. And if you're on social media, tag me, Melissa Moore, and the Retail Tea Break podcast. So in the meantime, grab that cup of tea, sit back and listen in to season 8 of the Retail Tea Break podcast. Today, I'm joined by an internationally recognized expert in the retail industry, a seasoned researcher who helps global organizations build the future of their business. She shared her thoughts with the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and the Financial Times, and Rethink Retail continued to list her as one of the top retail experts in the world over the last few years. At Salesforce, she blends data and analysis to create thought-provoking content that helps companies understand how new technologies will impact the future of their businesses. Michelle Grant, Director of Strategy and Insights for Retail and Consumer Goods at Salesforce, welcome back to the Retail Tea Break podcast.
Thank you for having me again. I'm delighted to be here. And if you aren't able to tell, I'm based in Chicago. So we have the lovely Chicago skyline behind me. You can see in the distance the Willis Tower, or as most Chicagoans still call it, the Sears Tower. So a little retail history for you there. And again, really happy to be here to talk about our new report.
And I'm thrilled. This is such a brilliant report. So we're going to talk about the new Connected Shopper report. It has just dropped. It is there for you to download and read. And I would urge you to do so. 38 pages of phenomenal insights, but also something really special that we're able to share with you exclusively today. Some Irish insights as well. So we're definitely going to do a deep dive into those. But look, to kick us off, tell us a little bit more about this report, you know, how it's gathered, why you do it, because I know this is the kind of one of many that you've released over the last few years.
So this is the sixth edition of the Connected Shoppers Report. We conduct these about every 2 years. It's a big undertaking and we expand every year to make it bigger and better. So we've included Ireland this year. The surveys we do cover 21 countries now, so that's an increase. And we survey 8,350 shoppers on their views of their shopping habits and 1,700 retail decision makers about what they're seeing happening in the retail landscape. Now, we do this right to inform our own product strategy. What is the pulse of the consumer? What are retailers saying? And as a result, what should we be building for the future? And then we share these insights, you know, to help the industry do the same. What do they need to be thinking about? What do they need to be building, both from the actual shopper perspective, but also from their peers? So we get a really great view of what's happening globally in the industry from the shoppers and from the retailers.
And, you know, I love that aspect of it because an awful lot of reports nowadays are very one-sided. It's either the shopper report or it's the retailer report. But what is so fascinating, as you said, global, like literally right across the world, you've pulled insights, but you've got both points of view. So it's a really harmonious report that does give you that insight that you really need. And I think for me, reading it, it supports a lot of maybe what we're feeling right now, but we're not sure of, but also driving strategy. There's so much here that's positive that can help aid us in the future. So look, give us an overview of those that haven't had a chance over the last 24 hours to read this report. Give us a little insight into what to expect.
Definitely. I think, you know, we always start off the report talking to the retail decision makers about their challenges and their opportunities. And globally, what retailers were saying about their challenges is that it's a really high cost environment right now. So inflation still remains, customer acquisition costs are rising, high return rates, especially in apparel and footwear. So that environment is really difficult to operate in. And then you layer on constant changes in consumer behavior. behavior, right? I like to say that consumer behavior is changing at the speed of social media and an intense competitive environment. So we're facing a lot of challenges on a global level, and those are the top five. And we ask, okay, well, what are the opportunities? Where do you see the light at the end of the tunnel? And overwhelmingly, the number one opportunity was leveraging AI. So it's not just a buzzword. The industry is taking it very seriously. And then we asked, okay, well, what are the top benefits to using AI? And globally, it is about improving employee productivity, increasing revenue. So they do see an opportunity to drive that top line growth with AI, and then also creating better experiences both for the shopper and the employee. So we're going to see and talk a lot about that in this report and then in the podcast. Now, the second most important or most popular opportunity was unified commerce, right? So we're evolving beyond omnichannel into unified commerce, which is where we take all of the front-end systems where a shopper can make a transaction and marry that with the back-end systems that make it happen all into one single platform where then data can flow seamlessly throughout the organization. And so that's a really key theme that we study in this report. And we ask, you know, what are the benefits of having unified commerce? And the number one is using it to leverage AI. So it makes sense that these are the top two opportunities because they are really closely intertwined. You need all of your systems together that are generating data that are telling you about your business in a unified platform so that you can feed that data into AI across the organization, across the different functions, and get accurate and great results, right? If you have not enough data or your data quality is poor, the AI isn't going to work. So unified commerce is really key to getting that AI to work. But there are also benefits to unified commerce, employee productivity, right? Everything's centralized in one place. You're going to make everyone, you know, from the store associate to the C-suite more productive. And then you're going to be more operationally efficient, right? You're going to be able to make decisions faster, make the right decisions, see where you can be more operationally agile and efficient, especially given all the challenges that you face and these costs that are really out of your control. And then the third opportunity that they see is e-commerce sales growth. And I want to mention that because we'll talk about it. It really marries what the shoppers are saying to us as far as where they're going to place most of their transactions. But we also asked about store sales growth, and that's ranked really low as an opportunity. So when it comes to moving the top line, retailers globally believe that e-commerce will be the engine for that.
Oh, there is so much there to pull apart. But actually, what really strikes me is yes, unified commerce and AI now up there. It's great to feel that the industry is embracing it. It's maybe not as scary as it was 2 years ago when this report last came out. Unified commerce now bringing everything to the forefront, both for the store, the retailer, and the consumer. But actually, all of these opportunities seem to go across all of retail, whether it is, as you say, the physical store, the back end, whether it's logistics, that we're bringing the whole of the industry up, that the opportunity is there, not just for one small piece, as maybe we would have found in the past, but it's really kind of that transaction across the whole industry in every direction.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And the amount of touch points that are now involved, both on the shopper side and on the employee side, are just exploding. So it's really important to keep track of everything and bring it together.
And you know what? I think for me to jump straight away then from something that you've said, it would be completely, you know, not right of me not to pull out straight away this in-store shopping kind of experience. It obviously remains crucial despite the digital growth, because again, a lot of what you're talking about there is this rise, I suppose, of mobile shopping, social media shopping, which I'm sure there's this data on there. But actually, for me, the report made a really interesting point that the growth of digital commerce isn't creating a single winner, which, when you start to think about how you use social media to shop, makes perfect sense. So instead, online marketplaces, retailer websites, brand websites, and delivery apps are actually all getting a little bit of the pie there. It's really interesting then, I think, that we're seeing that consumer journey play out now in so many different directions.
Definitely. So again, The store globally will still account for 41% of transactions in 2026, according to our shopper survey. So it's still going to be the biggest channel for transactions, single one. But if we look at that, means about 59% of transactions will be happening digitally. And as you point out, the share of each digital channel, whether that's a retailer website or app, brand website or app, delivery channels like Instacart or Uber Eats or Uber in general, DoorDash. And then, of course, we have the social media channels and then the online marketplaces like, Shein and Amazon. So there's so many places online now to make your purchase, and we see them all growing at the expense of store, but at different speeds. And what we found is that shoppers turn to these different channels for different reasons. So for retailers, what really stands out to the consumer is really good return policies, great service, and the ability to use a loyalty program. So those are kind of things that retailers, I like to remind them, those are things you don't necessarily think about, but it's really important given that you can find your product anywhere for the most part. Now, brands, your shoppers are going to them because they have, what is authentic brand. So, retailer, their marketplace and marketplaces in general could be sort of a dupe or a counterfeit. And if you want the real deal, you to go straight to the source. The other thing that appeals to shoppers when going directly to brand is exclusive products, right? So brands will drive traffic because they're only going to have a certain amount of product and it's only available to them. Delivery, right? We're getting used to convenience. We want it same day, hourly, or in some cases in minutes. So that's why delivery apps are gaining some share. And then we have the online marketplaces, which are known for their vast selection and low prices. So there are things that people are going and gravitating to digitally that make the digital landscape even more competitive than even, say, like 10 years ago before we had social media commerce or the rise of these delivery apps.
It's fascinating. There really is something for everyone now as a shopper in the retail space. And it's great then that there is this drive to continue to sell to the shopper now in the way that they want, not maybe in the traditional way that we would like to as retailers, but we're definitely meeting the customer on their kind of terms nowadays, which is exciting. But the other interesting thing then that I pulled out is the store's being used for fulfillment. So we've looked at the shopper aspect, but actually from a retailer perspective now, have they started to kind of utilize that space or even that, I suppose, literally that footprint to then drive that digital connection and fulfill those orders from these various apps and platforms?
Definitely. So what we've seen is the stores had to evolve, right? And the first evolution is in fulfillment. And we've seen actually the most popular type of transaction for a shopper now globally is to buy online and get it shipped from store. So big players like Walmart here in the United States has done a really good job of using their stores as fulfillment centers in order to get the product to shoppers very quickly and usually at no cost, depending on if they're part of the membership program or not. And then right behind that is buy online, pick up in store, which is normally what we think about when it comes to using a store as fulfillment. But yeah, so that's kind of an interesting transformation of the store, is actually shipping from the store to lower that shipping cost as opposed to, sending it from a distribution center, but also the speed and convenience of having that inventory located really quickly to the really closely to the shopper's home. And the other thing that I found really interesting on the shopper side when it came to store is that about a third of shoppers are going to stores now for services like tailoring, alterations, repairs. So again, in this environment where there's a lot of inflation and people want to extend the life of their products, they also like the customization of, either a tailoring or, you can get a monogram on things and really have that kind of experiential sort of experience in the store that you can't really replicate online. So I thought that was really interesting. They also go to the store for events. So even though it's becoming less important for that actual transaction, the store is really important for fulfillment and to deliver that experience and develop a brand connection that is more emotional than just, oh, I'm popping in to make a purchase.
And I think we're really starting to see that play out with there's an awful lot of the big brands. Not only have they opened new flagship stores, obviously, we were out there with you in New York in January, and all the great big flagships, of course, much more of a theatrical experience now coming into store. But even the rejuvenation and the revamps of existing stores that we're seeing through various portfolios, again, they're making the most of the fact if we're driving a stopper into store, we've got to give them a little bit of magic, a little bit of sparkle. We need to offer something very different. I saw that again last week. Only a few days ago in London, that again, these gorgeous stores are doing everything they can, whether that's kind of staff-led education, whether we're enticing people to come in, as you said, for different events, we're utilizing the space in a different way. So I think it's lovely that we're evolving the physical store as well as this online version of our retailers and our brands.
I totally agree. And the store associate really stands out. They have so many more tasks to handle. And I was shopping over the weekend. It finally warmed up in Chicago. And what really resonated with me was just all of the friendly and knowledgeable service I got while I was in the store about the different products or being assisted for getting different sizes. Literally went to like six or seven stores, and the service was incredible and just made it a much more enjoyable experience. I learned a lot. I made impulse purchases as a result. So yeah, really also, it's not just about, the physical aspect of the store and the things that you have, but the people in them.
And it's lovely to see that coming through. But look, to get to the kind of exciting, interesting part, especially for me reading this, for the very first time, Salesforce has gathered insights from the Irish market. And I'm super excited that we get to share some of them. So I suppose bringing us back to the shopper, that one half of this incredible report, what are the insights for Ireland telling us?
I think for the Irish shopper, much more digital savvy than the global average, which is what we found. So in 2026, about 32% of transactions will happen in store compared to 41% globally. So overall, much more online purchasing going to happen in Ireland than the global average. And we do see that brands and retailers are going to take some of that share more than other digital channels. So that's really fascinating and really good for the industry if you're a retailer or a brand, knowing that, the Irish trust your channel and you've enhanced it so that they expect to spend more with you in those digital channels. Also really interesting, we've done a deeper dive into social media and its influence on, marketing and commerce and service. 37% of Irish shoppers have made a purchase on social media, and 55% of them have discovered a product on social media. So that's interesting. We're sort of at that tipping point as far as product discovery and evaluation, that it's over half of the population now is finding products there. And the top platforms are Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. So really important to have a strategy for your brand on those platforms, because that's where people are searching and finding products that they want to purchase.
That's fascinating. And it's interesting then that we here in Ireland are slightly different than to maybe even the rest of Europe or certainly the rest of the world, as you said. But that again, it's social media driving our purchases, which I'm sure some people will be very surprised about. But as you say, the leading retailers here are certainly strategizing to utilize those platforms. We know the rise of TikTok has definitely kind of impacted the landscape here as well. But Instagram. So if you're not on Instagram right now and you're listening, it's definitely the one to quickly jump onto and I suppose reach your customer.
Yes, definitely. I agree. And then because it connects to Facebook, right, it should be pretty easy. Obviously, you don't want to replicate what does well on Facebook doesn't necessarily do well on Instagram, but video, sort of the constant theme in all three platforms, is short form video, is really important thanks to TikTok. So having that short form video strategy and then placing it on those platforms is going to be crucial. Again, you will need to tailor the strategy to each platform and each algorithm, but certainly get started with a video is kind of my sort of baseline recommendation when it comes to social media.
And it's definitely working. As you say, the insights prove it. One thing that shocked me, though, and I think this brings us right back to the beginning of this conversation, you spoke about, I suppose, the global kind of need now that we're seeing across retail for unified commerce. And again, that relationship with AI. However, I suppose the Irish data on unified commerce isn't great. Like, Should we be worried? Do you think we're kind of late adopters here, or is this something you feel like we're building momentum on?
It's a mixed bag when it comes to unified commerce in Ireland. So one of the top challenges that Irish retailers cited was legacy technology, and that is really hard to update and get ready for unified commerce. And when we asked about, what are your top challenges to implementing unified commerce, was the POS system. So it's deeply embedded. These are hard systems to upgrade given the sort of implications for the whole business. So there are, two, in general, legacy technology and specifically point of sale technology really acting as barriers to implementing it. And so we see that in the data because only 9% of Irish retailers say that they've implemented unified commerce, realizing the benefits from it, and then investing for innovation. But the good news is, right, like that in the opportunities version of this or the question, Irish retailers, did cite unified commerce as the second most popular opportunity. So it is on the radar, and then 68% of them are in the process of implementation. But we just don't know how long that implementation will take, how long it will cost, but it is on the radar. Irish retailers are working towards it. It's just a really challenging thing to implement, but they do see the benefits. And the benefits are a bit different than what the global retail consensus is. And the benefits, would be to, again, leverage AI, right? Because you need all of that data. So they recognize that. But it is about unifying and making the digital and physical experience totally seamless, right? So that's more of the omni-channel perspective. So we're still working in Ireland towards getting that to be up to high standards. And the third is better inventory management, right? So that's kind of the lifeblood of a retailer and brand is inventory and making sure that you have it in the right places to fulfill either through a social media platform or fulfill from the store, fulfill through a distribution center. So there really are critical benefits to unified commerce. But yes, there's a lot of challenges to getting it right.
So work to be done there, but obviously by the sounds of it, then we're moving in the right direction. And I've no doubt then when the next report comes out in a couple of years, hopefully that will have moved on a fair bit. And I suppose then we'll have learnt as we've gone. We're very good at that here, I think. So it'll be interesting to kind of watch this space on that one. But I suppose the big one I need to talk about, because again, it's front and center of this report, AI. And it really looks like, and I'm thrilled to say this, it really looks like the Irish are embracing it.
Definitely. Again, it's the number one opportunity both for global retailers and for Irish retailers. It's the top benefit from having unified commerce. So really at the heart of this is AI. And it's not, like I said earlier, it's not just a buzzword. It's not a fad. It's really important. It's probably going to be sort of the operational layer for each function at a retailer is sort of my big theory and thesis around AI. Really touches everything. But what I want to focus on is sort of and what this report does too is focus on this new type of AI called agentic AI. And this is AI that is able to achieve a goal without human intervention. My favorite example is I could tell my AI agent if a customer comes into my chatbot and wants to do a refund, handle it. But if it's over $100, kick it off to a person. I want someone to validate, maybe upsell, maybe, add a service or a warranty to it if it's over this price. So I've given it a task, a goal, and I've given it a guardrail. Anything over $100 needs human intervention. And so this is sort of, it's basically smart automation, and it's really transforming the industry. And we're very excited about it here at Salesforce. We're already seeing pretty amazing results from customers that have implemented now. And what we saw in our research is that 93% of Irish retailers are investing more in AI in general. 91% believe that agentic AI will give them a competitive advantage in 2026. And 94% of Irish retailers trust this AI to operate on its own if guardrails are in place. So that's really key, right? Because you're asking, basically you're asking it to do something and you don't know how it's going to do it. So there's a lot of trust that needs to go in there and a lot of guardrails so that it doesn't make a mistake that's very expensive and costly. And so we also ask then, okay, you're going to have a bunch of agents. What are you going to ask them to do? And the number one agent skill, as we call it here, is a shopping assistant. So helping a shopper make a purchase with their AI or helping them guide them to product recommendations autonomously. And so that's really fascinating. And the second most popular one was about inventory management. So automatically reordering things, automatically moving inventory where it needs to be, automatically, understanding where returns are, all of those things. And that's obviously something that is a key benefit of unified commerce is, better inventory management. And so the next evolution will be sort of just automating it all and letting the artificial intelligence take the steps needed to put the inventory in the right place. And the third most popular response was at customer service, right? There's a lot of, low value tasks that tie up a person's time to handle. A lot of that can be automated away with an agent to take care of it and resolve these issues without a human looking at it. So that human can then focus on the more complicated, high touch service inquiries. So again, when we talk about like the benefits of AI being employee productivity and operational efficiency, taking that AI and making it more automated is really going to have dramatic benefits for those two aspects of the business, which is critical given that we're really operating in a very high cost environment.
And I think that's the key here. I almost think that some retailers feel they have no choice but to adopt this because, again, they don't have the personnel, they can't afford the personnel. But actually, the exciting thing is here, it's completely doable when you put the guardrails in place. And I love those examples that you've given us there because this works. This works for the retailer, the employer. It's really successful for the employee as well, as you say, because they actually get to spend more time with the shopper in front of them or the shopper on screen that really needs their support. And of course, at the end of the day, the customer and the actual shopper is getting everything they need as well.
Exactly. And what's really exciting is these AI agents won't just be for businesses. We're seeing them for shoppers themselves. So OpenAI launched Operator in for people who subscribe, for $200 a month. So kind of a limited niche market now, but Operator is able to navigate websites and make purchases on your behalf. They've given examples of making a purchase on Instacart for like a home delivery of groceries, right? And then here in the United States, Amazon is rolling out an Alexa Plus. So a version of Alexa that's smarter, powered by LLMs and has a more natural flow, but you'll be able to have it make grocery shopping or grocery purchases on Whole Foods, Amazon Fresh, book a ride on Uber, book an appointment for a spa, all sorts of travel, make travel purchases. So it's rolling out, but yeah, so we already see this technology happening on behalf of shoppers, and that will be lots of implications for retailers. How do you reach those shoppers if they have an AI agent? What does your website look like if an agent is shopping on on behalf of a consumer? So really exciting stuff happening in the AI space when it comes to AI agents.
It's like your new best friend. I'm very excited to kind of see this play out. And as you say, I think it's just it's another layer for the retailer to bring into the organization, into the strategy for the future, because it can only be a good thing for the shopper. So that's exciting. But look, it wouldn't be a Salesforce episode, and we've had plenty over the last 3.5 years, but it wouldn't be right not to, talk about loyalty while you're here. There's obviously been a lot of talk post-COVID about declining loyalty right across the industry. However, it does feel, and it feels like it from the report, it seems like shoppers are getting savvy about what they want, which I think is starting to work in everyone's favor.
Yes, I agree. So 83% of shoppers have switched brands or retailers in the past year, according to our research. And 63% of them cited high prices, right? We're in a very volatile environment, macroeconomically, geopolitically, and inflation is still an issue. And so the shopper is very price sensitive, very price savvy. And what we found is that loyalty programs are becoming table stakes to help them sort of offset those price increases that they're seeing at the cart, essentially. In Ireland, we asked the question, of all of the shoppers, what makes you a repeat customer to a brand or retailer? And 37%, the number one response was getting the best price, right? That's number one, higher than loyalty, higher than product quality, higher than like free shipping, really, really drives home the point that people are very price sensitive right now. 34%, the second most popular response was loyalty programs. So again, it is all about having that program. Consumers want it, shoppers want it in order to both like save money, but also get access to free services or convenient type things like free 2-day shipping or free returns that make their life easier. And not surprisingly, the most popular type of loyalty program in Ireland is the traditional points program. Those are free, those are everywhere. So most of the Irish population we surveyed belongs to that type of program. And we asked them, what's the benefits? What do you value the most from a loyalty program? And the number one is redeeming points for discounts, right? Again, it's a way to offset your costs now in that loyalty program. And then of that, though, the next most popular response is being able to redeem points at other retailers and brands. So that I found really fascinating. Obviously, coalition loyalty programs have a long history in Europe, not so much here in the US, but I do think that that is something retailers need to be thinking about. Am I part of a coalition loyalty program, or is it better that I just kind of build out my partner ecosystem myself so that I kind of control and add more value to my loyalty program? So it's all in my little ecosystem and bring partners in that way and enrich the value of my loyalty program so that people use it and shop with me more. So I think that's something that the industry really needs to be thinking about is how do I deliver value by offering discounts or free services to adjacent kind of categories that my shopper would be interested in.
You know, that's really interesting. I'm not surprised about the loyalty points. I'm sure everyone listening can almost go through the long list of ones that they use on a regular basis. But the coalition loyalty kind of aspect is a fascinating one. And again, I'm presuming that when we come back in a couple of years and we talk again, that do you feel this is something that will gain momentum as we go forward?
I do because I think what is happening is, Amazon Prime really set the standard on what a loyalty program should be. And we see these other membership programs like Walmart Plus or even like a DoorDash Plus, all of these paid loyalty programs now offer things like, discounts on a petrol, gas, discounts or free streaming capabilities, right? So with Walmart Plus, you get access to Paramount, and video streaming seems to be like a really key benefit that people want because they're obviously saving money on that by having it part of that paid membership. So I think the paid membership strategy of getting as many partners from as many segments into the program is training consumers to expect that from every loyalty program. So I do believe that this is just going to be table stakes. And, I was really surprised at how highly this ranked in this survey this year because it was included 2 years ago. So I do think going forward, that's going to be even higher and the next time we do this report. And so I really advise retailers to think about how to leverage brand partnerships in their loyalty program across different verticals in order to be competitive and deliver that value that the shopper wants.
Definitely one to watch there. It's fascinating to see then how this plays out, and I suppose to be aware that it is something that retailers are watching as well. But look, so much data for all this, the retailers to dive into with this insight report and for brands. But I know as well as you do that Salesforce never quite stands still. And of course, you're constantly leading the pack when it comes to new ideas and innovation and supporting retailers and, of course, their shoppers. So, look, what's coming up next, I suppose, for you, the team, and for Salesforce when it comes to retail?
We're definitely going to keep our eyes on the evolution of AI. So, in fact, the fourth wave of AI is going to be robotics. And at our TDX conference just recently, we showed how AI agents can power robots and have that AI tell this robot to complete a task without human intervention. So all of the applications of agentic AI are something that we're going to keep a really close eye on because really, the possibilities are endless. And I know I sound kind of ridiculous saying that, but if you told me that, just a year ago that AI was going to be powering robots to complete complex tasks, I wouldn't have believed you. And then we had demos just like 2 weeks ago on it. So really, really fascinated by all of the use cases of AI. And we're just like scratching the surface here. And then, of course, to power that AI is unified commerce. So how are we getting there? What are the benefits? What are the best practices there? So those two themes of AI and unified commerce are something that my team is going to be really researching, studying, and getting excited about.
And so you should. It is. It's incredibly exciting to see Salesforce at the forefront of everything when it comes to AI, on top of everything else that you guys do. But yeah, I'd say we'll be back in 2 years to see how this report has changed and also to dig a bit deeper into the next wave of Irish insights. But if you've enjoyed today's podcast episode, please do share it from any of the podcast platforms with your network. And if you're on social media, of course, tag myself, Melissa Moore, and the Retail Tea Break podcast. Listen back to previous episodes, and I will link to some of those brilliant Salesforce episodes over the last 3.5 years. And of course, while you're there on the various platforms, do hit that follow button so you get to listen first every week. Watch us over on YouTube and subscribe to the Retail Advisor. You've no idea how useful that is to me, but it just ensures that I can keep bringing you the content that you love. Connect them with myself and Michelle over on LinkedIn. I'll obviously share the link to the Connected Shopper report to the wider Salesforce team there so you can connect with them as well. Loads more details than in the show notes and, of course, on the various social media posts. Michelle, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you back on the podcast. Thank you for sharing the Connected Shopper report and especially those Irish insights. I appreciate it. I'm sure the audience as well. And no doubt we will see you back very soon.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me again. It was a pleasure to speak to you as always.